We're in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and 4 today, if you want to turn there. 2 Timothy 3 and 4. Talking about sharing the gospel. But how can I do that? I might say something wrong that might send a person to hell. I might not be able to answer the question that they ask me when I'm trying to share about Jesus. I might not know enough to be able to tell them anything about the gospel. What if they ask me about the substitutionary atonement or transubstantiation? What if they ask me about the discrepancies in the Bible, the apparent places where it doesn't make sense? What if they ask me why there's so many denominations? What if they ask me about evolution? What if I can't give the right answers? What if I make mistakes? What if they make fun of me? What if they beat me up? I can't share the gospel. I don't know enough. And I'm not good enough. Besides, I'm not a good example of Jesus. I've sinned, I've made mistakes, people have seen the dumb things I've done. If I were to try to tell somebody about Jesus, they'd just laugh at me and say, "Ha, you hypocrite. I'm an embarrassment to the church." That's not my job anyways, that's why we hired a pastor, right? Sharing the gospel. Let me ask you a question real quick. Three frogs are sitting on a log. One decides to jump off. How many frogs are on the log now? Three. Just because you decide to do something doesn't mean you've actually followed through and done it. It's got to start with a decision, but you got to do what it takes. And we can talk all the time about evangelism and sharing the gospel. We can make the decision all the time that I'm going to share the gospel. But what are you going to do about it to follow through on that decision and get it done? As we get ready to do our study on the book Outflow, Outward-Focused Living in a Self-Focused World, I think that's going to be a challenge in and of itself, because I can't stop thinking about me and everything that I do. How's this going to benefit me? What about my time? What about my energy? What about my projects? What about me? Tune into WIIFM. What's in it for me? It's all focused on myself. And we try to say, well, no, I'm not going to do that anymore. But even when I start to do something, I'm hoping they'll notice me, see how good I am. And our goal in this study will be to look for ways to bless others. And through it, the goal isn't to see how great I am. The goal is for them to realize that the only reason I'm doing this is because God loves you so much that I've got to bless you too. If God loves you, I care about you. I love you. And through that, we'll get the chance to say, well, God loved me so much, I want to spill forth His love onto you because I know how much He loves you and I didn't deserve any of it. And that joy will spill forth from our lives and the love will flow forth. And even I can share the gospel. Even I can be a living testimony, following God's word, doing what's right, loving others, and getting the chance to speak up and say, well, God loves you, and hopefully getting to expound on that. As we look at 2 Timothy today, one thing that I hope we'll see is that we are equipped to do such things. This is a letter written from Paul to a pastor. So don't let that distract you, that Paul is trying to tell Timothy what he's supposed to do. We're given the word so that we can make application from it. And as we see the premise by which Paul gives Timothy to preach the word and to be ready, it's all based off of the truth of the word. And the word is true for all of us. We're all called to handle and to apply God's word. And so we all get the opportunity to talk to others about the truth of the word. We often associate preaching with the guy who's standing up front and gets to talk while you don't get to say anything. But preaching is especially the proclamation, that get to go and tell forth the truth of something. And we all get that opportunity, that privilege, that responsibility. And as we talked about in Sunday school already, most of that is going to be conversationally. Not me talking at you, but me engaging with you, learning about your life, learning about your beliefs, learning about what you think and why you think it, and what's shaped you and your life experiences, and being able to go back and forth in response to that, showing my concern, my love, my care for you, and sharing my experience, the truth of how God got a hold of my life, caught me in the midst of my sin, and showed me my need for a Savior. So all of us, in and of that, are equipped with our own story to tell, our own testimony of how God changed my life and took me from following the passions of the world to now changing my life. And I'm not perfect yet. That won't happen this side of eternity, but I'm growing in it, and I'm pursuing that, and it matters to me now, and I'm awake to the ways that I'm so imperfect and how much I need a Savior, and I got to keep coming to Him, and you do too. Evangelism is about identifying with a person because I'm in the same boat, except for I found the Savior. He found me. He's rescued me, and I want Him to rescue you too. You just got to cry out for Him. We all have that opportunity. We're all equipped, and it's something we must grow in, but we have everything we need. And 2 Timothy tells us that it's all right here. It's all in this, that God's word is sufficient. It is enough, and it is powerful. 2 Timothy 3 tells us we're equipped, and it tells us we must trust the power of God's word for everyone, myself included, but it's enough for me, it's enough for you, it's enough for everyone out there. I just want you to pause for a moment and reflect and just think of someone that you know needs the gospel. But I want you to think of the most stubborn person you could think of. If there's anyone in your life that you thought they would never become a Christian, they would never trust Jesus, whether it's your alcoholic coworker or your neighbor who makes the scene all the time, or the most crude cussing guy on in the store that you've seen, whoever it might be that you come across on a regular basis, and you're thinking he would never, he doesn't even want to hear that, he makes fun of Christians, whatever. And while you're thinking of that person, just stop and realize that the grace of God is sufficient for that person. And God's Holy Spirit is able to melt the heart of anybody. I mean, maybe it was too far back to remember, but we each had hearts of stone, right? And God took it out and gave us a heart of flesh, a heart that trusted in Him. And too easily, whether we do it consciously or subconsciously, we can write off somebody as, oh, they would never. But can you imagine that person someday? Why did nobody ever tell me about Jesus? Why did nobody ever tell me about Jesus? There's a atheist on video on YouTube. I forget his name. Maybe I'll mention it next week or show the video. And he's talking about, he used the word proselytizing. That's the same word evangelizing. Somebody trying to get people to become Christians. And I think that's a little more negative focus. It's a good thing, but they tend to think negatively. Oh, you're just trying to talk to me to make me be a Christian. And he's saying, his point in the video is, well, it only makes sense if you actually believe. If you truly believe in heaven and hell and the destiny that you're going to and the destiny that someone who doesn't believe is going to, then you're a hypocrite. You're a horrible person if you don't share those things. If you're just trying to not offend somebody or be not make it awkward socially, that's no reason to hold back such things. You should have the responsibility to share those things. And that's coming from the perspective of an atheist. He's on to something. We've got something to share. And we've got the moral responsibility. If a tornado's coming and you know about it, wouldn't you want to tell everybody? I don't want to bother them. They're busy watching TV right now. Or they might make fun of me. It's natural that we would share the important truths and give the warning and give the encouragement that this is the most important decision you'll realize, the most important decision you'll ever make. Let's look at what 2 Timothy 3 to 4 has to say about how we are equipped with the power of God's word, which is sufficient for everyone. The first is first way that we can, and I'm going to change my word that I put up here. The first one is to remember your story. So if you're looking up there, remember your story. Remember your story. And let's look at chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. But you must continue in the things that you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom that you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. You have to remember your story. For Timothy, his mother and his grandmother, they taught him the Scriptures. His mother and his grandmother. And he's saying, remember who you've learned them from. Remember where you came from. That they taught you, that they had persuaded you to believe because you needed this. And how you trusted in that. You have to remember your story. First of all, it reminds us of God's power in our own lives. It reminds us that God can save helpless, hopeless sinners because He saved me. I mean, that's a wake-up call in and of itself. Paul says, by the grace of God, I am who I am. As we looked at his testimony this morning, he was persecuting Christians. He was right there when Stephen was being killed. And he was condoning that and standing for it. And now I can just imagine the shock when people who recognized him saw him going and preaching the word. And who is this guy? Wasn't he killing Christians? And now he's saying the same things. Paul, of all people, was the hopeless, helpless sinner that would never, ever trust Jesus. And yet God got a hold of his heart. And God can use us as we share what we are equipped with to do such things. You have to remember your story. I, myself, am a hopeless, helpless sinner. Romans 5, I always think of this because I had to ask a question of this passage a long time ago. Romans 5, 3 through 5. Not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope doesn't disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Saying in trials we can rejoice. Now, that seems counterintuitive to us, but we've heard that enough. So, okay, why? Because tribulation, as we go through those trials, it teaches us to persevere. And as we do that, it tends to build character in us if we're cultivating the right perspective. But then, character produces hope. Now, what does that mean? That was the question I had to ask of this passage. And I realized long ago that it's because I was a helpless, hopeless sinner, and God is cultivating in me that I am slowly but surely becoming more like Jesus, not to my own glory, but by the grace of God, I am who I am. God's doing that. God's done that, and I can look back and see such a difference in what God's done in my life. Now, do I have a long ways to go? Yes, but I've got hope because I can see that God's in the process of doing the work. As I remember my story, I am reminded of the power of God's word, the truths that I placed my faith in, the truths that and seeing each step of the way, how God started with a woman who taught a good news club in my own town. And why was I going there? I was Catholic. I don't know. But I heard truths from the pastor there. I heard truths from a woman leading good news club. I got to college and ended up hearing from another pastor why I didn't go to a Catholic church. That's only by the grace of God. Why I didn't continue to hear that it was my works that would save me, which I was quite confused about. And seeing how God used people along the way, that He was working in their lives and He used them in my life, and God was shaping things, tell me that I would be a pastor several years ago, I wouldn't believe you. That's the power of God's Word. The power of God's Word that you're sitting here today trusting in Jesus and not in some tattered, torn, destroyed life that you could have pursued instead. It's by the grace of God. You have to remember your story. And I'm sure it hasn't been easy along the way. And yet God uses those trials to shape us. God's Word has the power. Kind of our theme verse, I didn't read it at the beginning, but Romans 1:16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. To the Jew first, and also to the Greek. I'm going to cheat ahead a little bit in our outflow book, but it's got the four-tiered fountain. It kind of gets bigger each level, and the idea is built off of Acts 1:8, for you shall be witness to me in Jerusalem and in Judea and all Samaria and unto the utter ends of the earth, and how God's spilling forth the joy out of us to more and further away. And as the gospel went forth, it was to the Jew first, but it opened up to Gentiles, and God is going forth with His word to all nations. And we will have influence among all those around us, not because of myself, but because I am equipped, I am empowered with the power of God's Word, the power of the gospel. We have to remember our story. And of course, we have to bridge it with Scripture. Bridge to Scripture. We talked about our testimonies this morning, how to formulate a testimony. And I really believe as we tell our story, that's one of the most powerful ways to share our experience. Just like Paul did in Acts 22 that we looked at. But we have to connect it with Scripture. It helps to give context to what those Scripture verses mean. But if it's just about me, if I just talk about some vague truths, but I don't sow into it the truths of Scripture, and especially the power of Scripture, that I'm missing something. When Paul's writing to Timothy, he says to remember to continue the things which you've learned, so don't give up, and the things you've been assured of. But remember, knowing from whom you've learned them, and that from childhood you have known, what? The Holy Scriptures. It's all about the truth that you've learned, which is the Holy Scriptures, which, by the way, are powerful, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. That word able is used oftentimes with power in the Bible. It's the word dunamis, where we get our word dynamite. It's a word signifying power, the ability. The Holy Scriptures are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. And Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's God-breathed. It's directly from Him. And it's profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, righteousness, that the man of God may be complete. In other words, Scripture is sufficient. It's able to save us. It's able to get us to salvation. And it's able to get us all the way to maturity, to perfection, if you will. That's the same word, that the man of God may be complete, mature, perfect, in the sense that we have our fullness in Christ. And that's the end to which we strive. And when we get to heaven, we'll have that perfection. Our salvation will be complete. But we have all we need for life and godliness. 2 Peter 1:3 tells us, and that's right here in God's Word. I can tell you my own ideas all day. I could give you a motivational speech. I could give you a how-to seminar. But if it's built on my own ideas, I wouldn't be worth a cent to you. But if it's built on God's truth, then this has the full value for everything that you would want to build your life on and follow. And if you're going to be telling somebody about matters of eternity, then you better found it on the truth and bridge the scripture. We can connect with people and let that bridge the scripture, bridge to the gospel, bridge to what's most important for them to know. The third is this: mature in obedience. Mature in obedience. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable. It's profitable. It's of value to us. It's going to benefit us. What's in it for me? Well, here's where I'm going to get something. And it's not because it's all about me, but this is going to be the most profitable thing for me, more than anything else that I'd want to pursue of my own time, my own energy, my own money, anything that I'd want to invest myself in. Nothing's better than this. It's profitable. For what? For doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Doctrine, how to get right, for reproof, how to see where we've gone wrong, for correction, how to get back to that, and for instruction, how to stay right. It's all about growing and maturity and obedience. It's going to show us the ways for how we can stay on the right path. And if we start to sway, we'll have the reproof and the correction to get us back on the right path, to stay following God, to be growing in a relationship with Him. I can read all the self-help books I want. I can see a psychologist, a therapist. What's profitable? All scripture is God-breathed and is profitable. And that's how I'm going to achieve my completion, my maturity, is as I grow in that, as I keep pursuing it, as I keep moving ahead in obedience to the Word, staying on the right path, following what I know to be true and applying it to my life and building my life around that. Not just like the frogs deciding to jump off, but haven't gone anywhere yet. I'm going to hear the truth of the Word. I'm going to decide to obey, and then I'm going to leave here today and I'm going to obey it. Or if I'm going to open up my Bible in the morning and I'm going to read something that's going to stand out to me because the Holy Spirit's going to convict me, I'm going to decide that that matters enough to me, it's profitable enough for me, that I'm going to think about that today and decide to obey that. And I'm going to renew my spirit in that sense tomorrow when I have to decide to obey all over again because my heart wants to wander and I'm prone to sin, my sinful nature. And I'm going to renew myself and what I'm going to build myself upon. And daily I'm going to mature in obedience. Because Scripture is profitable. Scripture is profitable. You cannot forget that. It's more profitable than anything else I can. And sometimes it's hard. I've got a busy schedule ahead. I didn't get enough sleep. And I can't keep up with work, whatever it might be. Car problems, all these things keep coming up. I didn't have time to read my Bible today. So you didn't have time for the most profitable thing there is. Not that there's something magical about reading some words, but because it's time that we spend meditating and remembering truth that is profitable for my relationship with the God of the universe, the God who gave everything for my salvation, for me to be in relationship with Him. And as I remember that, as I spend time investing in that most important thing, which is profitable to me, I can mature in obedience. Then we get this last part. Always be ready. Always be ready. Chapter 4, verse 1 and 2, he says, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ. So he's got something that he's tasking Timothy with as the pastor of the church. But I believe God's got something he's tasking us with in response to having been entrusted with the truth of God's Word. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom. It's a serious task, and it's before a God who is very serious about what He wants us to do. Preach the Word. Be ready in season and out of season. Doesn't matter when you feel like it. doesn't matter when it's not popular anymore. Be ready. Just like 1 Peter 3:15 reminds us, always be ready to give a defense for the hope that is in you with meekness and with fear. Be ready to tell people about it. Be ready to let others know. And then when somebody asks me about that, or I'm sitting next to somebody and the Holy Spirit is stirring that in me, and I just don't feel like it today, or I've got somewhere I got to be. Be ready, whether you want to or not, whether it's popular or not, to convince, to rebuke, to exhort. You have to confront people in their sin, to expose, to correct it, and to encourage them. That word exhort is the same word for our Holy Spirit. It's to come along beside, to encourage, to exhort, to comfort. It's living life alongside somebody. We come down and we engage with them because I identify with you, and I'm in need of a Savior just like you, and we together need the Savior. And I encourage you. I telling you how much you need the Savior with all long suffering and teaching. It's going to take lots of patience. It's going to be hard at times. You might have to go on and on. I mean, not in that one time where you're just beating them to death with it, but you might have to be persistent about it and keep coming back to it and keep sowing seeds and working in that person's life and seeing how God will let His Word affect them. Whether it's the average of 7.6 times or it's 145 times later, whatever it might be. Be ready whether you feel like it or not. Always be ready. We are equipped. We may not fully know how to use it. I think that takes some growth. But even if I can't tell you what some complicated, fancy doctrine is, what propitiation is, I can still read my Bible, learn what God has for me, and I can still help somebody who doesn't know the truths of the Word. I might not be able to pour out a systematic theology, but I have been entrusted with the grace of God as He saved me, and I can tell somebody else, here's how you get saved. I couldn't do it by doing all the right things because I make mistakes. I couldn't do it by going to church because I was still a sinner. But I could do it by simply believing in Jesus, that He had paid the punishment for my sins, that He died on the cross. And He rose again and gave me victory. My Savior is alive. My God is alive. And He did all that for me. What could I do that's good enough? Absolutely nothing. Ephesians 2:8 and 9, for by grace you have been saved, through faith, not of works. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's a gift that I received and I am blessed with. I didn't earn my wages. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. We can grow in putting our equipment into our hearts and minds and lives as we mature in it. As I grow to know and love the Word more, it'll help me to be ready. I'm not just talking about bringing your Bible everywhere because this is what you're equipped with and you're going to need it. That's one way to do it, but you're going to be better off putting it in your hearts and minds. Memorizing, meditating, applying, growing in it, loving it. Can't get enough of the truth about my God, my Savior. Ephesians 3, Paul talks about this. Ephesians 3:2. If indeed you have heard of the stewardship of the grace of God, which was given to me for you. The stewardship of the grace of God. I've been entrusted with something. God gave me His grace so I could share it with you. God gave us His grace so we could share it with others, so that we could tell others about it. He says, I became a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given to me by the effective working of His power. I became a servant. We're all servants. Ephesians 4 tells us that my job is to equip you with the Word so that we all together can do the work of the ministry. We're all ministers here. Why? Because of the gift or the grace of God. and the effective working of his power. And as we do that, the body will be edified, will be grown up, will become more like Jesus, will be matured, will be complete. We're helping one another as we do the work of the ministry. It is my job, and I can do it. And I probably should do some preparation, but I can always write off an opportunity as I'm not ready yet. When God gives me the opportunity, I stay faithful, I do my best, and I speak up. I'll tell them what I know. I'll tell them my own story. And we'll be looking for those opportunities and praying for them and seeking new opportunities all the time. Remember your story. Be ready to tell it too. Try to connect with Scripture. Build that bridge to be able to open up or share the Word. Keep maturing in obedience so that your life demonstrates it and so that the Word is implanted in your heart. And always be ready, because God wants to use each and every one of us. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for our passage today, the chance to think about your truth, Lord. I'm sure it makes some of us nervous. I know it makes me nervous to think about our responsibility to handle your truth and take it to others. And Lord, that's a responsibility we don't take lightly. But Lord, help us to be faithful with that. Help us to get out of our comfort zone, to step out, to be ready even when it's uncomfortable, Lord, and to take that next step and just do it. And Lord, we might make mistakes sometimes. We might stumble. Lord, it will be hard. Sometimes we won't have the answers. And yet, each time, Lord, we believe that as we're faithful to you, we sow a little bit of a seed, and you can use even our most feeble efforts, Lord, to work in somebody's lives. Lord, I pray that you would use us. Help us as we consider our five for fives and keep praying for people in our lives. And Lord, just prepare their hearts, prepare our own. Give us the opportunity to tell them the most important thing in the world, that we need a Savior, and that the Savior is available, and we can be saved by grace alone, through faith alone, nothing else, Lord. We thank you for that. We are eternally grateful for our salvation, and we are burdened for those around us who are in a great need as well. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please stand for our final song.